Okay, so we have been considering these different issues of somebody who is mazik, and the nizak either plays some role or could have played some role in terms of stopping it from happening. So where do you find that makes a difference, and where do you find it doesn't make a difference? So we started where on our former daf of Daf Dalet had suggested that it makes a difference, that the nizak's role will, and it sounds like it's specifically the nizak, that is going to exempt the mazik, at least that's how some understand it. So in some cases we find that's not true. We find that on Daf Chav Zayin, so the Gemara seems to say that the mazik is chayiv, even if the nizak could have stopped it from happening, because the nizak is entitled to say, let him pay, that's fine. And why that is, and we drew generally the distinction made between hezek that is happening b'mezid, where we basically let him end up paying the price, and where it's b'shogeg, when the nizak may end up with the bill if the mazik was b'shogeg. We also drew a distinction between damage that hasn't actually happened yet, if the maisa hezek hasn't happened, and also whether it's about reversing the maisa hezek. So for example, I think we ended off yesterday talking about somebody who spills wine on somebody else on their shirt, and theoretically if you put seltzer or whatever, I don't know, you put something on it right away, it could stop the stain from setting. So is the nizik obligated to do that? So we discussed the svara that presumably he's not obligated to do that, to reverse it. So that's already happened, and that's already the mazik's problem. So now we want to take this in consideration with another source. That the Gemara talks about a somewhat surprising din on Daf Mem Zayin Mubeis, which you've had a chance to see. Let's say somebody here in the middle of Mem Zayin Mubeis, Hanosein Sam Hamaves Lifnei Behemis Chavero Patur Midinei Adam V'Chayi Midinei Shemayim. So if you put poison in front of your friend's animal, so you are patur b'dinei adam v'chayiv b'dinei shamayim. And the Gemara says it's somehow mavis specifically in this line at least, d'lo avid d'acha, that there it shouldn't have eaten it. It didn't have to be that he would eat it. But maybe in Peiris, maybe it's different. And there's a whole discussion here in the Gemara. So how do you understand this idea of Havalei Shlo Tocha? What does that mean? So if you saw the Tosfos talks about it, right? So here, this Gemara, it sounds like we're back to blaming the Nizak for all of his own problems. Right? We started off saying if the Nizak does something, then he's the one who caused the problem. Then we got to Chav Zayin, where the Nizak was not expected to stop the problem from happening. And now here on this daf, apparently the nizak is back in the driver's seat because his animal shouldn't have eaten the poison. Sammy?
Is this related at all? I mean, I didn't see the Tosfos. So is this related at all back to whether or not this animal may or may not be mu'ad, in the sense that it would be, if it sees something, just going to eat it? That's what it does?
Not necessarily, no, because here mu'ad is about damaging other people, damaging other animals or whatever. It's like it's about goring. But here we're talking about eating, and this is something which theoretically it's predictable he would have eaten. And so here, let's say Tosfos addresses this point, as you're about to say, Ein lefarish delekach pater, dechashiv keruach ein mitzuya. So you shouldn't say that the patur here is because who would ever would have thought the animal would have eaten the poison. So ultimately, Tosu says that no, that the issue is Hainu Taima Kevin Shemiskavein maybe all of Davar Shemaziko, Einu Roy Zel Hischayev Bekach. That since the animal and the animal's owner, they intentionally brought upon themselves that object which is mazik them, it's not Roy, it's not appropriate that the other one should be Chayev. Now, how do you understand that? How do you understand that even philosophically? Right, what does it mean here to say that the placer of the poison is off the hook because the animal shouldn't have eaten it? Maury?
It sounds like almost the intrinsic assumption is that they knew that it was poison. Maybe that would, I would understand.
Maybe.
What Tosos is saying, if they knew the object that they bring upon themselves would be a dagger that's going to be, that's, that would lead to hazard.
Except that, we'll see, so what if it's something that was not poisoned by itself in a way that is clear, but it's mixed in with regular food, so it's not so clear. Which happens to be a machlokas achronim, actually.
Why does that make any difference?
Well, it should make a difference, because the question is, are we saying that it's because the animal, so to speak, or really the animal's owner, is responsible for letting this happen, for letting the eating take place? What if he couldn't have known?
But either way, the Gemara says you're part of
it. That the person who put it there is part of it. Right, so why is the person who put it there part of it? What gets him off the hook?
I guess the fact that it's not clear that he was poisoned.
But let's say, right, so...
The person
who put the poison there, right, we'll call him a poisoner. Let's use a creative nickname. Right, so a poisoner puts the food in front of the animal. Owner lets the animal eat it. Poisoner is off the hook. Why is poisoner off the hook? Sam?
This is really an answer, but it's a hazard chain.
Well, it's pretty nicker if he dies.
Well, but the damage, the object that causes damage, you don't know that it's a damage of poison, yes.
It's poison. It's got a skull and crossbones on it.
It looks just like regular fruit.
Right. Well, so look, actually, the Gemara talks about that question, whether it looks like if that should possibly make a difference. And so that's not clear whether that's the case. And that's a machlokas achronim, whether it's, if it's mixed in. Right? The Gemara ultimately brings this issue about what about the arfazta, which looks like fruit, essentially. But let's assume for a second it doesn't look like fruit. So why is there a patur? Jed?
So the Bala Shor should have stopped it short from eating.
Okay, so that's what the rush sounds like. Right? That the, we have to just try to nail down the exact nature of where the Bala Shor comes in here. And
so
Tosus is understood to be different than the rush. And that's why we have to look at Tosus carefully.
The rush makes it kind of an issue of Shmira.
Right, Shmira from the Bailam.
Right.
Right, that the Bailam should have watched over it, and the Mazik, the poisoner, he relied on the Mazik putting it there, on the Mazik stopping it from it. Sorry, I said so again. The poisoner is the Mazik. The poisoner relied on the owner stopping him from eating it, and that's why he's off the hook. But Tosus is understood to say something differently here. Maury?
Maybe we could say grown.
Oh, okay. So expand on that.
It's not a direct, maybe, but it's not a direct form of damage. He's leaving something that is undamaging.
Okay, it sounds like there's a good possibility that's what Tosus is getting at. And Tosus, together with the Gemara, has a framework that makes that make sense. Shmuel, you?
Would Kavan have any?
Kavana, it, maybe.
Because then we could argue, or we could point that maybe if he had Kavana, it wouldn't be Grama.
Well, now the Rosh just seems to say that Kavana doesn't really make a difference about Baba's diet anyway.
Yeah, about Baba him, his activity gets the poison out there. Right, so let's try to follow this line of Grama, that together with the language of the Gemara and Tosus, it sounds like that's what's going on. Right, because especially, what does the Gemara say is the rule here for this guy? What's the status of the poisoner? He's off scot-free? Right, which also sounds like a grama, right? It sounds like he's off on a technicality. Right? The language of saying he's chayiv b'dinei shamayim is telling us that, listen, this guy did a bad thing. He's got a moral liability here. So he's not totally innocent.
Yeah, but you said the Baal is
that the well, right, this past sentence we're saying that the poisoner is chayiv v'dei shamayim. He's part of b'dinei adam.
Right.
He's chayiv
v'dinei
shamayim.
Then he's like a pater
also. Well, pater, he's the victim, so there's no.
He's not. I mean, there's no. He's definitely. We're not saying that he's chayiv.
The language doesn't work for that because he's the person who bears
right.
the cost.
So I'm saying that it would be. How does the Rosh do that?
Right. So the Rosh would understand it as saying that the mazik, the theoretical mazik, the poisoner, he is off the hook because he had the right to think that it wasn't going to happen. He had the right to think that the owner of the shore, would, the owner of the para, would stop him from eating it. But Tosis is presumably saying something different. Sammy, you had a question about that?
As touching on a point we were making earlier about. This difference between DNA Adam and DNA Shamayim, like, shouldn't that carry a lot of weight? I mean, like, you want to, like, the Gemara is saying maybe he's part of DNA Adam, in fact, in Shamayim, just data point that to some degree this person should decline something.
Right, it does carry a lot of weight. And this also, this is always an important thing to emphasize and reemphasize in these sugyas because it comes up a lot. Right, but just what is your impression about such a din? Does this sound fair that if you happen to put poison in somebody's path, you put a piece of poison right in front of someone's animal? And then the animal eats it and dies, and the response, let's say it's somebody else who put the poison there, and you are devastated that your animal died because they ate the poison that I put there, and he'll say, well, you know, it was your animal who ate it. How would you feel about that?
Fair.
Wouldn't strike you as so fair, right? So that's presumably what this framework is addressing, that when you see a language like chai v'dei shamayim b'patim v'dei adam, it's often telling us that the p'tur is a technical p'tur. That why you chayiv b'dei shamayim? You chayiv b'dei shamayim because really you are responsible for this. You did a evil act. It's just as a technical exemption. Hi.
Just to clarify the case a little bit more, just is Tosfos commenting on what's brought by Rav Sheshet, the case of the poison, or is he commenting on the part before that about just putting fruit, regular fruit, into the chatzer of the nizak, and then the shore overeats.
I believe he's talking about the poison. I think that's how the Tosfos is understood. Although I could see why there's room to have a suffix about it because of
it's on that first step.
Right. Right. That's true. So it's interesting because, you know, the whole distinction leaves a lot of room to try to figure out exactly what's happening. Right? So look at the Gemara from the beginning. Right? Amar Rav Lo Shor Lo Shor. Okay. Lo Shor Lo Shor. Behenava Achla Pater. Pater if he ate it. So my time Mahavale Shotochal because it shouldn't have eaten. So Amar Rav Shesha. So Amina Kidai Veshachiv. Rav Amar Lahashmaisa. That's one of the famous zingers in the Gemara that the Chavos Yar has a tshuva about. Which he addresses, you know, the Chavos Chaim published in the back of his sefer, tshuva from the Chavos Yar about these statements, like how could you have Talmidei Chachamim talking to each other like this? And oh, you said this while you were asleep. So the Chavos Yar, I think, in his tshuva, he says about this expression, says it's actually a compliment, and because saying it's not your best work. He's saying when you're awake, you would have realized to say something that's better, but when you're asleep, so it's pretty impressive that you could say something so close to the truth when you're asleep. But and you could also be mazik when you're asleep, so I guess you could also say a good divrei Torah. But in any event, so the Tanya knows in some mavs they behave as chavero, parts of the dinei adam v'chayv dinei shemayim. So a mavs who the lavi to achla, aval peros the lavi to achla b'dinei adam nami v'chayv. I v'amai havalei shlotocha. Why don't we say also that they shouldn't have eaten them? So Amri who I did, I feel the Paris Nami part of Bidini Ada. So maybe Paris is also true. I have a Hakamashman that I feel some Hamaves Nami Dla Vidla Ochla Chai Vidini Shamayim. Bibai say, Masamavas Nami, but Prazafta the Hainu Paris. That even with some of us, we're talking about something that looks like Paris. So, or that looks close enough to Paris. So, sounds like we're talking about the whole sugi here. So, if you take the view, like Tosis is probably saying, that it's a grama issue, which would work well with language of the Gemara, that this is a bad thing to do. There's a moral liability. And ultimately, God is going to settle things. But the p'tur is a technical one. So what's the p'tur? P'tur is grama. So how does that fit with the lashon of Tosfos? That you're not the one who did the ma'aseh hezek. You just put something on the ground. The animal who ate it, he's the one who did the ma'aseh hezek. Now how could you have thought that that would have not happened? Or either way, how can you blame the animal for this? Let's focus on that per se. So perhaps the point is that in a chanami, that the animal isn't trying to hurt himself, but in a very technical sense, the ma'aseh hezek was done because the animal chose to eat this. And therefore, that turns it into a grama. Now, are there situations where it would become a garmi? Maybe. But to begin with, perhaps this is a grama, and that's why he's pater. And that would help us to understand the view of those such as the Shach, who say that this would be true even if the poison was sprinkled within other foods and wouldn't be clear. Nonetheless, it's still a technical issue. It's still that the poisoner did not do the ma'aseh hezek. So what's the difference between the poisoner here and the guy who put the gacheles on somebody's clothes?
Indirect.
Sorry? Say it again? Who's talking? Sorry? Shmuley?
You.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. I know that.
It's not very much right there.
It's not? So hold on a second. It's supposed to be, yeah, I'll tell you when your English birthday is coming up.
I think I saw my English birthday.
Hold on, it's December 12th. We're way off.
18th.
December 12th, right?
18th.
18th, what? No, it's December 12th.
I had to be the youngest.
Okay, I think your parents have something to tell you. You were just born a week earlier, that's all. Okay, I have the 12th here. Why is that? Okay, well, clearly the facts are against you, but okay. December 18th?
Yes.
All right, we'll have to edit that. Anyway, so either way, you're still entitled to answer this question.
Just one case is a case of kind of grandma, the other one isn't. You could call it someone's clothing, it's very direct.
Right, and here we can focus less on the grandma part, even though it's clearly relevant to what's going on, and say that in the case of the coal, he did a ma'aseh hezek. So he did a ma'aseh hezek, it's not the nizik's job to stop it. But here, it's the poor nizak who did the ma'aseh hezek. So that seems to be the clear distinction between the cases. Now, you could also ask, well, once we're saying, all right, it's his fault for eating, and we use the word fault here with a lowercase f, I mean, it's a very much understandable mistake, but still it's his fault for eating. So the Chazon Ish and others discuss, why don't we say, all right, so then the Bala Bor should also be Pater. If somebody makes a bor in the ground and the person comes and falls in it, so we should say to that person, okay, he made himself fall by walking over the bor. Is that comparable? Is there a difference between the guy who walks across the street and ends up falling in the boar, and the animal that eats this item, which happens to be poison?
Yeah, a person. It's different for Ramoncha Bishnas and Alecha applies to the person's short and his mom.
Okay.
Maybe.
You're saying from the Nizik's perspective also.
From the Nizik's perspective, yeah.
Okay, but it's not true about yourself.
There certainly, it seems like there'd be more of a svara to say it about your. The Rosh Hashanah would apply more to a person's animal than it would by a person.
But is that going to explain differences practically here?
Because
it doesn't seem like we're not focusing specifically on the fact that it's a shore. What the Gemara seems to be giving us a klal here is that if the Nizak took an action that made himself get Nizakt, so then the Mazik is Pater, Mitine Adam. Right, very often the Mazik may be a Rasha here, right, especially if we get into the whole computer virus discussion. Right, the Mazik may be a Rasha, but he's technically Pater because the action of Hezek was done by the Nizak. So if we say here, the action of Hezek was done in letting his animal eat, so is that different than somebody who walks over a boar?
Avos and Zikin are fundamentally different.
Okay, so why are they different?
Because the nature of boar is that it's something pernicious or rabbin, it's going to be damaged. So that it, the whole nature of boar is that I'm falling into it and I don't know about it. Which is not the case by a shore.
But where, how are you defining the difference? Like how you, even if you want to say that it stems from it being a different av, but still, how are you categorizing that?
Boar by nature is something that's going to be mazik with how the knowledge or ability to avoid on the nizas.
So it's kind of a confusing sentence. They say that boar by nature is.
Boar, but by nature, boar is something that will be mazik. The Nizak in a way that the Nizak is not able to prevent it from happening,
and
is unaware.
Okay, so you might be right. And then say from Mishpat HaMazik, he is Mechalik from a different direction, but also working off the premise that different Avos have different stories to them. So before saying his approach, which is closer to what you're saying, you just mentioned the Chazon Ish's approach. And the Chazon Ish's angle is that maybe you have to say that, no, the person doesn't intend to go into the boar. The person intends to cross the street. And there happens to be a boar in between, so that's a different story. He's just trying to get from point A to point B, and he has no intention of entering the boar. Well, here, in this case, the animal intends to eat, and it's the eating that ends up being mazikin. But that puts us in a very dachistic area. It puts us in a very narrow situation to try to be machalic between what's one action, what's two actions, what's one part. How exactly do you draw such a fine distinction? That can be very tricky. And you could always say, well, no, in both cases he didn't intend to eat the poison, he only intended to eat the fruit, and maybe you should draw other distinctions. So it's hard to work with that kind of a chiluk. Sorry, just ignore that. Sorry. It's hard to work with that kind of a chiluk. But in the Mishpat HaMazik, he introduces a whole other element here. And it's kind of the other half of what Maury was saying. Saying that it's not so much that this is a klal by everything. But the thought here was that the chiyuv should be mitam esh.
Is this in the Paris or is
this the Paris? In the Paris case. Why should it be mitam esh? Or what's the definition of esh? How does esh work? Right, we haven't spent so much time talking about esh so far this year. We've spoken about Shor and about Shane and about Regal. But what's the definition of Eish? Yeah. Yeah, but there's something that's mixed in with it. Right? That basically, if somebody sets a fire, so what is the nature of the damage? So if the fire stayed where he put it, so very often that wouldn't be damaging. What's the damaging part? That what? Right, that koach acher comes and moves it and spreads it. So let's say the wind comes and spreads the damage of the fire. So if that's the case, so once the wind comes and does that, you have a koach acher muravo. So you have, you place the damaging item, and the koach acher spreads it, but that's predictable and the way the world works, so you're chayev for that. So maybe you should say that's true here also. So you put poison on the ground. If the poison just stays on the ground, it's not going to hurt anything. But the koach acher is that if somebody comes and eats it, so then that's the force that moves it, that's akin to the wind.
It's a bit of a stretch, no?
Maybe not, because this is how you find a number of real-life cases being considered. So if the animal comes and eats it, he's the koach acher muravbo. But he's also the nizak. So maybe that's what this Gemara is telling us. That when you have a question of Eish, so if the Koach Acher is the Nizak, then the Mazik is off the hook. Jed, you wanted to...
No, I just didn't listen to that. That was...
Okay, so this affects a number of other cases, which... Okay, I'm inclined to kind of just put this out here, and this actually would segue right into the virus thing, so I'm a little bit considering doing the virus issue tomorrow, just because it'll... Okay. See, always just because we're talking about Koach Mervis, you see which way the wind is blowing, and you vote that way. Always hop on with a winner. Okay, so we'll see. Well, God willing, we'll get to Mazik Brishos very soon, one way or another. But it might just flow well with this point that there is a possible angle here that that's what's going on. That when the koach acher is the nizuk, that's what makes a difference. So, for example, there is a discussion. It's also discussed both in the Mishpat Hamazik, but also in the Mincha Shlomo from Shlomo Zalman Orbach on Davav, where he talks about the following cases. Let's say I sell you sugar. But alas, it is not sugar. It is salt. And the salt ends up destroying your food because that was not what your recipe called for. So you made a batch of brownies and they were all salt instead of, and they were expensive brownies. And they're all now salted instead of sugared. So am I liable for that, for selling you salt instead of sugar? So there are poskim who maintain that, no, I'm not liable because you should have checked. You should have looked at what it was before you baked it into the cake. So the fact that you baked salt into sugar, you baked salt into what should have been sugar, that's, you are playing the role. And I'm not called a mazik for that. But even within that position, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman considers the following. Let's say a man purchases these bags of salt thinking they're sugar, and his wife ends up baking the salt into his food. So now maybe the first guy is chayv, because then maybe you have a whole H package. Because he set this in motion, and the koach acher is the wife, because the nizak is the actual bialim, is the husband. So if the husband took a loss because of the koach acher, it's very romantic, he'll tell his wife, you're a koach acher murubo. So maybe that reason puts it back on the original seller, and maybe that guy's a mazik now. So maybe that's the kind of scenario we have here also, that maybe we're really considering this issue of mitam eish, and maybe that's why if a nizak is playing the koach acher role, that's where he's going to get the mazik off the hook. So that gives us maybe two different reasons to think the mazik is off the hook. Either it's a technicality, mishum grama, or maybe they're both true. You know, maybe they're both true, that essentially it's a grama as it is. And you could also have called someone who sets a fire a gorim. So no, there's a chiddush of a mazik called eish, that's not called grama, but that's called something that you're liable for. But it doesn't make the cut as eish, because the nizak is the one who is the koach ha'achamur of grama. So these are not necessarily two different ways to understand. It could be compatible understandings that without eish it's a grama, and with eish it doesn't work because the koach ha'achir is the nizak. Make sense? Okay, so then that leaves us with a cliffhanger question, which maybe we'll try to look into. What happens if somebody gets sent a virus and he opens it up, he puts it onto his computer? So what category does that fall into? Do we say that that's similar to this? Do we say that that's different? So God willing, we'll try to fill that in. All right, everyone should have a wonderful day. Those are the only good things. And this is the question. Gotta figure out a system.